This is Liz Booker with a literary aviatrix waypoint along our journey through stories featuring women in aviation. This one is from Season 2, Episode 1, in my interview with Meryl Tengsdahl about her book, Shatter the Sky. In it, she's sharing with us the physiological effects of flying the U-2 at very high altitudes. You talked about the sort of physiological pressures that it put on your body and some of the long-term damage that you may be experiencing because of it, that other pilots have experienced. But then when we were on a call, you were talking about, well, you talk about it.
Right. So, I mean, at the time I was flying the U-2, the cabin pressure was set at about 29,000 feet approximately. So for all those who don't, let me paint a better picture. It's like being at the top of Mount Everest and you're breathing 100% oxygen, but your body's feeling that physiological effect. So you are exposed to quite a few things. You can get DCS, decompression sickness. So in the form of the bends or the chokes, for, you know, divers understand that, or you could get neurological damage because you have these bubbles moving around in your body. And for some reason, depending on the day, if you have enough, you know, hydration, if you're tired, all these factors, all these little things factor into it, right? So for us, for you two pilots, what you have to do before you fly a high flight, you have to breathe 100% oxygen before takeoff, 1 hour before takeoff. And the reason why you do that is because your tissues love 100% oxygen. So what it will do is replace any nitrogen that's in your body with that 100% oxygen. So basically you're like off-gassing, like, you know, when you get a new piece of furniture and it smells like plastic and it off-gasses after a while and it smells like your house. And so that's what we would do, but still it helps minimize that. But I guess during the time that I was flying, a lot of us had experienced more severe symptoms of DCS. And again, some of my friends got it very badly. We, you know, during that time, we almost had a Class A mishap, which means, for those who don't know, Class A is, I think the rules were, the cut line was over $1 million worth of damage that might have changed since then, and permanent brain damage or loss of life, right? Yeah. So we had a gentleman who, and it's documented, that experienced DCS, you know, through the flight, but he cleared the symptoms, and there was some ambiguity of, do you continue a mission if you have some DCS? Like, he felt joint pain. He felt better. He inflated the suit, but then he continued on. And then it started to progress in a dangerous way. So he had neurological damage and he almost crashed the aircraft, but he luckily landed. It's a great story. If those out there,
it's intense.
It's intense. Just hearing him tell it, his name is Kevin Henry, a great guy, great pilot. But he suffered that, and he had to go through a lot of, I'll say, therapy, for lack of a better term right now, to kind of get back to some sort of normal. And then he was probably the most severe, but we had another guy who had other issues. Other people were just having issues. So they did a study during the time I was there, and they found that most of us had these white spots or brain lesions. So, you know, I participated in the study because I was curious. You know, who doesn't want to see what their brain looks like? So,
yeah,
so I found out. So we don't know the long-term implications. We just know that maybe something will happen, something may not happen. Yeah.
Wow.
That's okay.
But so since then, you talked about how the plane has been reconfigured, right?
Right. It's been modified. They actually changed the structure. So the cabin altitude now at 15,000. So that happened. That happened right as I was leaving as the commander at Palmdale. So we were in talks to get that done. And I think they started retrofitting the aircraft right shortly before I left. So that was in 2010. So when I got back in 2013, most of the aircraft were, the single seat aircraft were at 15,000 feet, which it made a difference. I mean, when you fly U-2, so our missions were, you'd fly once and then you would, the next day had to be a down day. So you were doing no activities. The following day was a ground duty only, and then you were eligible for a flight. So we flew once every 3 days because it makes you tired. Our rotations when we deployed were typically somewhere between 60, no more than 90 days, just because of how tired you get flying the line consistently. Yeah. So it takes a toll on you, but I'd do it all over again.